very much. Now, you may know that Margaret Thatcher is very against the latest EEC directive that all cigarette packets should carry the notice, smoking causes cancer. She prefers her own personal suggestion, which is, smoke this if your name's Ted Heath. My name's David Baddiel, and this is Punt and Dennis. This week, hundreds of thousands of Chinese students took to the streets, chanting, shouting, and embarrassing the authorities. It was Peking University Rag Week.
We have here a copy of the Chinese students' rag mag and a small selection of jokes from it, including,
why did the chicken cross the road? To escape the revisionist policies of the discredited ruling elite who have compromised the revolution.
Did you hear about the Tibetan tap dancer? He demanded regional autonomy from central party control and then fell in the sink.
Why did the apple turn over? Because the police fired a water cannon at it.
And knock, knock, who's there?
Mao.
Mao who? I don't know. He's not in this new history book.
Here in Britain, the surprise of the week was the government winning their High Court case over the poll tax leaflet. It is so unheard of for a High Court judge to rule in favour of the government that we felt the case should be examined more closely.
Greenwich Council took out their injunction to stop the leaflet on a complex legal technicality, namely that the poll tax was crap.
The government's case rested on a similar legal technicality, namely that rich people with big houses are going to be much better off. Unfortunately for them, their case was put by John Gummer, who is actually Kenneth Baker without the charisma. John Gummer used to be called John Selwyn Gummer, but he dropped the Selwyn because it's quite an interesting name. In the wardrobe of politics, John Gummer is the millet's anorak, with Supertramp on the back.
In the next few weeks, no adult in the country will be able to escape receiving one of these in the post. A letter telling you you've won the Reader's Digest prize draw. Also, you'll be getting one of these, the registration form for paying the tax. If you haven't got one yet, it goes like this. 1.
Name.
2.
Address.
3.
No, come on, your real address.
4.
Now your real name.
5.
If you've just written Mr. Rushdie, then 2 million other people have already done the same joke.
6.
What is your annual income? This makes no difference to how much you pay. We're just nosy.
If you fail to register for poll tax, penalties are severe. You can be fined, taken to court, or as the final deterrent, John Gummer will come round and smile at you.
Being a tax on people rather than on property, a large number of occupants dwelling in one place will mean severe problems.
Yes.
Excuse me, are you a Miss Snow White?
Yes.
You don't sound like her. Still, if you're her, you're over 18, so you're okay. I'm from the local council. Could I have a word with Mr. Grumpy or Mr. Sneezy?
They've moved. Ah,
what was that?
That's Bashful. He's got a cold.
Oh, so he's still here then, is he?
No, he's moved out too, but before he went, he gave me a tape he made of him sneezing. And I play it all the time to remind me of him.
So you're Snow White and the No Dwarves. Look, I'm getting a bit fed up with this. I've just been talking to the one little pig, Goldilocks and the two bears, one of which was dressed as a monk. All 101 Dalmatians are claiming to be under 18, and the old woman who lives in a shoe has bought 3 gross of condoms. I mean, why is it you people are so scared off by the community song? Charge.
Sorry. Everyone will be trying whatever dodges they can. Sigmund Freud tried to get away with just registering his ego and claiming his alter ego had left home and his id had become a monk. And there is one final person who the Prime Minister is determined to stop dodging.
Mr. God?
Yeah?
I've got a court summons for fraud for you. You filled this form in as God, but we have a clear record of a Father, Son and a Holy Ghost living here.
Who dares to tell the Almighty Creator what to do?
Mrs. Thatcher.
I'd better pay up then.
Picture this.
Tonight on the Mary Whitehouse Experience, we look at some of the lost arts and crafts of Great Britain and the attempts of people to revive them. Last week, we looked at Mr. and Mrs. Toilet of Plymouth and their endeavours to make coracle boats out of wattle and daub. This week, we look at the ever-growing number of people all over the country who are trying to revive the forgotten art of going on strike.
OK, here we go then.
What do we...
Nah, I can't remember it.
I think it's want.
Oh, yeah. Want. All together now.
What do we want?
Now.
When do we want it?
12%.
Thatcher, Thatcher, Thatcher!
One reason for the demise of striking is that the strikers used a vocabulary which has now completely changed its meaning. Words such as solidarity, which as everyone knows is now the Polish word for poster, the bosses, which of course is now the plural of Bruce Springsteen, and differentials, which nowadays is only used as an innuendo by the two Ronnies.
Bad news for the striking chemical plant workers who down tools over a huge vat of sulfuric acid. It's eroded their differentials.
Good. The disparity between the language of the media and that of the striker has always been a problem, going right back to the Jarrow marches.
So, tell me, why are you marching to London?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do, man.
I see you have no shoes on. Is that a symbolic gesture?
Why, I carry wood up for a fisherman.
Ah, you've swallowed them.
We joined a workshop in Boreham Wood where young people are being taught some of the old-fashioned striking skills.
OK, right, today we're going to look at interview technique. The first thing to know is that you should have a pair of ginger sideburns, a pair of flared nylon trousers from British Home Stores, and an expression on your face that implies you suspect the interviewer of sleeping with your wife. Basically, be far less camera literate than the chairman of the board who will be interviewed indoors wearing a suit and nodding reasonably. Okay, so, Giles, you be the shop steward, I'll be the interviewer.
Fine.
So, Mr. Brown, what would you say to the claim that the industrial unrest here is not just about pay, but is in fact a political strike?
Well, I'd say that the notion that a strike can in any way be divorced from its political context is ideologically misplaced. Striking is by its very nature a political act, and the use of the word political as some sort of pejorative is therefore absurd.
Giles. I think you've forgotten everything I've taught you.
Sorry, Stan, of course.
Well, I've given our boot. That 15% is 15%, and the scab, Daniel Noor. I've got a wife and bairns to think about, and we're tough, and we're that hard. And Maggie Thatcher and the Tory scum, they don't know what life's like when you're trying to scrape by on £750,000 a week.
From the makers of the Greenhouse Effect, Toxic Waste 3, and Confessions of a Teenage Aerosol User, comes a film so terrifying, not even Sting can save you now. 40 million years in the making. Yes, it's the day the Earth fought back.
I remember the day quite clearly. I just got the milk. That's mine, said a cow, seeming broody. Suddenly a tough gang of seals barged down the street, carrying clubs and looking mean and moody. All the foxes were out hunting the aristocracy. They joined forces with the hound pack, and all the whales were toting harpoons, and they began to laugh. The day the earth fought back. Well, some pistol Aspen Seabirds hijacked an oil tanker and crashed it into Exxon's HQ. Meanwhile, a rogue hedgehog driver was running over people in his brand new BMW. All the rainforest animals went for a Big Mac, and as they burned it down, they said, "Do you want fries with that?" All the minks were busy setting people traps the day the earth fought back. Well, the cops arranged a human fight. How's that for free range? And the bull winked at the matador and said, "It's your balls I'll be eating for a change." And now on user 10, a giant panda is saying, "Homo sapiens is an endangered species." But luckily the two that they've got in London Zoo should learn to breed in captivity. The Human Liberation Front raid laboratories, claiming mice are injecting men with smack. Oh, it's like a B-movie with a badly dubbed soundtrack. The day the earth fought back. All the grouse are grinning, shouting, "Tally-ho, you chaps." The day the earth fought back. The day the earth fought back. The day
Now, this weekend, Leeds play Millwall. Last time the two teams met, three Millwall fans were hospitalised after crowd trouble. This time, there will be a heavy police presence in the ground. So the plan is we meet them at Euston and kick the living shit out of them.
The Mary Whitehouse Experience.
You know, I'm not a physical man. I saw a great movie recently called Cry Freedom. You know, and it was about the death and imprisonment of a great man, known to millions simply by one word. His surname. Bilko.
What are we talking about? What are we doing here? So you're suggesting we drop napalm on ourselves in the Vietnamese, or a friend of Paparelli told me, gather around, and I got a terrible problem here. I think somebody should have told me about it sooner. I think I'm turning into Top Cat. Okay, Dibble, don't do this.
You know, I think I sound like Choo Choo. Hi, TC.
Thank you very much. I'm Rob Newman. Please welcome Mark Thomas.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Thomas. I come amongst the audience and solicit views from you about a certain topic which I'll pick out each week. This week, I decided to talk about a little bit of justice. So, first of all, can I just ask, have we got any students in? It normally takes a second or two for the question to get through. Oh, one bloke putting his hand up, that's good for radio, isn't it? You have to shout out. You don't happen by any chance to go to London School of Economics?
No.
Oh, you have to think of it. Where do I go? I don't know, man. Where do I go? Now, the reason the LSE are keeping pretty quiet at the moment, actually, it's not surprising, because I couldn't believe what they did, electing Winston Silcott as honorary president. I could not... Don't they understand that by electing Silcott as honorary president, they have completely ruined Winston Silcott's street credibility? He's inside, and they're going, what are you going to do when you get out? Oh, I'll probably go on an Interrail. Come on, we're going to a club. No, I've got to collect for Rag Week. And the thing is, you see, it's ironic because now with the students and the prisons, there is a link there. Because now with the university cuts coming in, prison's one of the only places you can actually get an education. One of the few places left. Look at the people who've gone there, like John McVicar, Jimmy Boyle, they've gone in, they've done degrees in sociology. That's brilliant. Obviously, you've got to draw the line about people doing courses and degrees and stuff like that. If Ian Brady wanted to do a course in landscape gardening, you'd have to say no. No, the point I'm making is people have actually gone in there. Some people have gone in there and they've been real notorious hardened criminals. They've done these lovely little self-discovery things. They've found out about things. They've educated themselves. And they've come out and they've been caring, creative people in this community. I reckon we should send the cabinet in for 9 years. It is weird, though, because all the things happening in prison now, like, you're not allowed, they won't issue condoms or clean needles to prisoners. That's crazy. We're going to have it in court. You're going to have... Mr. Kipling, we find you guilty of concealing prophylactics in your marzipan surprise. Do you have anything to say? Well, I do smuggle exceedingly good mates. One of the things that has amazed me is that they actually want to privatise the prison zone. And I can't understand that at all. You're putting people in these prisons, they're working like mad on these puny little jobs, getting paid a pittance, and they want to privatise them. McDonald's beat you to it, man. They beat you. McDonald's is the biggest open prison since Barlini's special unit. The only difference is that instead of slopping out, they serve it up. It is weird, weird stuff. You're going to have people going, have you done Bird? Yeah, I've done Bird. 6 years, Wimpy, Camberwell. That's what I've done Bird. Okay, we're going to come and get some views now. What I want to do is, how many people think that they should issue condoms and clean needles in prisons?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Although they say no, say no. No, we had a couple of no's over there. Okay, that's interesting. The rest are kind of like, what's a condom? Okay, why don't you think that they should issue prisoners with clean needles and contraceptives?
They're scumbags, aren't they?
They're scumbags. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's a nice liberal attitude there. Well, I didn't pay... Hang on, we had one there.
What I was asking the lady was, who does she think are scumbags? The people who weren't issued the condoms or the prisoners?
Do you think that they should be issued then?
Yeah, I mean, sex between guys in prisons goes on, drug taking goes on.
Exactly, there we are. Well, there we are. That was quite interesting, wasn't it? How many people here generally think that prison is effective? It's an effective thing.
Yeah, what's that? Be more specific.
Oh, blimey. It's the Open University. I've got a degree in penal reform. Let's have a little more specific. Come on, we'll start with you.
Well, what do you think it's good at?
Pardon?
I think it's good at turning out people are really pissed off, and they come up and they are just generally pissed off with the rest of society. That's what it's good at turning out. I mean, there's a lot of money to spend pissing off people when they've got a Tory government doing it for free.
In the week that the Labour Party policy on nuclear weapons has changed unalterably, we'd like to examine the real reasons why the British people think we have to have nuclear weapons.
The Sun says 10 things that will happen if we don't have nuclear weapons. Number one, all other countries will think we're poofs. And number two, Maria Whittaker has big tits.
The affront on British masculinity takes us to the heart of the debate. The British public has always been terrified of the following scenario.
Hello, Prime Minister Kinnock here.
Ah, would that be British Prime Minister Neil? No missiles except up my bottom, Kinnock?
Who is this?
President Mitterrand here, taking a break between birds and lager to remind you to put on your big girl's blouse. And don't forget, you're playing lacrosse next week, probably. United Kingdom, United Queendom, more like. Goodbye.
From there, things could only get worse. At the UN, British Foreign Secretary Gerald Kofman would be prevented from speaking as the rest of the world community join in a concerted chant of In the Navy. The German alternative cabaret circuit would be rife with jibes at Britain's masculinity.
When Zenzer is a famous one about the woman who said to Winston Churchill, "Sir, if you were my wife, I'd put poison in your tea." And Churchill said, "Madam, if you were my wife, I'd wait till you went out and put all your dresses on." Big laugh round the corner, huh? And then there is the other one, when a woman says to Winston, "Sir, you are drunk," and Churchill says, "Madam, you are ugly," but then I find all women ugly. I have other jokes.
But apart from the attack on our masculinity, there is another grave anxiety about disarmament. Many believe that no sooner has Polaris been decommissioned than Johnny Russian will be driving down Plymouth High Street in his larder tank, firing at anyone wearing a primary colour. In the event of a nuclear attack, there is no doubt that the Labour Party would respond swiftly.
A quick deal, quick! Sound the 4-minute warning!
Now, come on, Ray, you know we don't have a 4-minute warning. We have a branch party amendment motion at conference and then verification by the National Executive. Warning. Takes about 4 months.
Oh, God, I'm just going to press the button. What's going on? What's happening to our missile?
Well, it's gone off to the right a bit. Now it's back left. Now it's trying to get back into the center. Oh, no. Right a bit. Fire! Oh, I knew we shouldn't have had Bernie the Bolt at missile command.
Well, I've approved of that sketch in many ways, because we hear a lot of talk about the loony left and not just... what is it? I don't think it's the loony left. I don't think it exists. I don't. I mean, after all, if it is loony to want to stop the blink the bang pigeon, then I'm afraid I am a loony myself, because I think it's imperative we must, whether we have to nab him, grab him, stab him, lap him, stop that pigeon now.
It's the Mary Whitehouse Experience.
Welcome to the Agony Aunt Experience. I'm Jo Brand, and before I was a comic, I was actually a psychiatric nurse, so I think I'm fairly well qualified to talk about people's problems. The first letter I want to read is from Just 17, my favourite. Dear Just 17, I suffer badly from PMT and argue with my boyfriend when I've got it. I'm worried it'll split us up. Well, there are a lot of doubting Thomases around who don't actually believe in premenstrual tension. And one of my favourites, who has done as much for the feminist cause as the lead singer of the Pogues has done for French kissing, is good old Judge Pickles. Any woman who ends up in court in front of Judge Pickles charged with shoplifting, who puts forward PMT as a mitigating factor, will be in big trouble, really, because from a woman's point of view, Judge Pickles is a complete bastard. And you'd be lucky, really, if you didn't get sent to prison just for having a period in the first place. Thank you. But actually, I think we should be thankful that Judge Pickles is a rare bird and that mostly the legal profession accepts that PMT exists. I don't actually get PMT myself, but if I fancy a spot of shoplifting or GBH, I can normally get away with a few hours of community service. Straight on to Weekend magazine again. Dear David, I have a middle-aged unmarried sister, and she's recently started saying she's been talking to Elvis Presley. Should I do anything about it? Well, advise her to talk to someone a little less rancid, I think, probably. This talentless old lump of lard turns up everywhere, doesn't he? If he's not in the supermarket, in the newsagent, or goose-stepping round Germany with a pair of breasts attached to him, he's talking to people who read Weekend magazine. What appalling taste old Elvis must have. And next, a letter from a man who wrote to Weekend magazine again. This is absolutely genuine, all these letters are, and this is actually one of the best letters I think I've ever read. Dear David, I was very annoyed by your answer in which you told a woman from Grimsby she was suffering from vaginal thrush. Grimsby is a respectable town. And we most certainly do not have venereal diseases here. I'd like to point out, actually, that this is completely wrong. I was in Grimsby a couple of weeks ago. And I don't think I need to say any more than that, really, do I? Goodbye.
The Mary Whitehouse Experience.
Right, now it's time for the punchline experience. Before the show, the studio audience were asked to come up with a punchline to the following joke. What did the tube nutter say to the guardian angel? Now, I've collected up all the answers, which I have here in my hand. I'm going to read them out, and all the best ones will win a prize, a life membership of the SDP. So, here we go, then. What did the tube nutter say to the guardian angel? Can I borrow your beret? I fancy a crap. That would be funny if I hadn't knocked the microphone out of the way. What did the tube nutter say to the guardian angel? How would you like to be a real angel? Yeah, that's from Stuart Cook. Sounds like he is a tube nutter. He's over there somewhere in a tartan zip-up jacket and a bobble hat. What did the tube nutter say to the guardian angel? Tickets, please. Nick Rosser, who's not a tosser, I guess. Bloody fares are high enough without Bob a Job as well. I got that's from Patrick McGowan, who I think was in The Prisoner. He's down on his luck. What did the tube nutter say to the guardian angel? Hey, lo. Well, that's from Ann Tapfield. It's a bit twee and not very funny. Good. Aren't you Frank Spencer? Yep. Before you clap, I should tell you that that's by me, so don't clap. What did the tube nutter say to the guardian angel? This is a good one. Ich habe Hunger, Hunger, Hunger. Ich habe Durstig, Durstig, Durstig. Repeat to fade, it says here. That's from the David Malian Appreciation Society, Blackheath High School for Young Ladies, apparently. Good. Want to share a Kit Kat? No, it's all getting rubbish now. The standard's going down fast. Hello, guardian angel, and that's from Anon Event. All right? No, it's all got rubbish. The lights come on. That means it's the end. Oh, what was the best one? I thought the Patrick McGowan one was pretty good. The prize goes to Roy Anderson. Great big round of applause for Roy Anderson, ladies and gentlemen.
And now it's time to sit down on the comfortable Laura Ashley sofa with all the family at number 19 Felicity Kendall Avenue. Yes, it's our comedy series, All Cozy at Home in the Family House.
Hello, darling.
darling. I'm home.
Yes, darling. I do wish you wouldn't shout that as soon as you wake up.
Sorry, darling. Anyway, I'll just take the goblin teas made off. Thanks, Helga. I'll have the tea later.
Dear BBC, I feel I must complain in the strongest possible terms about the last joke. I worked for the Goblin's Teas Made Company for 35 years, and in all that time, it never occurred to me or any of my colleagues that the name of our prestigious company was also slang for fellatio. This is of particular chagrin to me, as I fought long and hard to get the original name of the product changed from the blowjob teas made. Yours sincerely, Mr. Givehead.
Right, daughter. What's on the telly?
It's our favourite, Terry and June.
Hurrah!
Oh, June, June.
Terry.
So, tune in next week for more fun and frolics from Terry and June.
That was brilliant!
You may like to know that Terry and June has been nominated for the Golden Rose of Montreux Award.
Daughter, will you get that?
Oh, all right. Oh, thanks, Helga. Can I have a cup of tea now?
Dear BBC, I feel I must complain in the strongest possible terms about what seems to have been yet another smutty association between oral sex and tea. An association which up till then had never occurred to me. Subsequently, however, I have singed my foreskin. Yours sincerely, the Right Honourable Norman singed my foreskin. P.S. Two Ronnie-style jokes about women's breasts are fine by me, but I will not tolerate so-called jokes where women are shown having active roles in sex or where the joke is about the male organ.
Hello.
Hello. Terry Scott here, film and TV personality.
Oh, welcome, Mr. Scott. You're my hero. And look, we're wearing the same pyjamas.
Yes, get out of them.
Oh. Sorry, Mr. Scott, I couldn't restrain myself. So, what brings you here?
Well, obviously, I've come to pick up my golden rose.
Eh?
I think Mr. Scott must think that this is Montreux.
Oh, well, we'll just have to do everything to try and make out that this is Montreux. And now we come to the category of best show on telly in the whole world ever. Son, do the music. And the nominations are as follows. Terry and June. And the winner is Terry and June. Hooray! Terry and June, everyone. Terry and June.
Hooray! Thank you very much. Well, where's my golden rose, then? Here it is. That's a goblin tea's made.
Is it? Oh, well, never mind.
Cheerio.
Phew, I don't think he twigged. We certainly pulled the wool over his eyes.
Father, where's the stereo? Where's the video? Where's that oblong lamp with the floaty, bubbly, oily stuff?
Oh, no! All we've got left is the telly.
Now, viewers in the Felicity Kendall Avenue area are advised to be on the lookout for a fat, smelly man masquerading as Terry Scott.
You've been listening to The Mary Whitehouse Experience. It was written and performed by David Baddiel, Rob Newman, Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis, Joe Brand, Mark Thomas and Skint Video. The producer was Bill Dare.